Good morning, church. We'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to thank Kurt for leading us in wonderful songs and praises to God. I appreciate the comments around the table by Chad and the scripture reading by Chris. All glory and praise to God. You think about gathering here today, how wonderful it is, how you are truly privileged people to be gathered here today in the presence of a holy God who loves you and cares about you, and a God that's concerned about your life and well-being, that we can open up songbooks, that we can give praises to God and do all these wonderful things. God is alive. He's not dead, and he's working in our lives. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everyone who's taken the time out here today, and hopefully you're filled with joy, with excitement, and just letting God lead, letting God teach, letting God burn upon your heart through his spirit what it is that he desires for you to learn today. So with that being said, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And the title is, What is the Trustworthy Saying? Well, we covered that in verse 15. What is the trustworthy saying? I'm excited to get something out here too, because I forgot to print something out, so it's on my phone. I apologize for that. Well, as a speaker, that's not a good endorsement, is it? Is that how you all feel internally? The crying, the weeping, the gnashing of teeth. Oh my. So trustworthy, able to be relied on, okay? Honest or truthful. And it deals with the actions of another person. There are trustworthy people that we know, that we come across. You think about someone that you actually can rely upon, that you think's honest. You know, you're going to go away on vacation, but you have to have something taken care of at your home, and you give them that key to go in. You don't just walk down the street and find first person saying, well, my animals need looked after, or my plants need water. Here's a key to my home. You know the person, you understand. You give them the passcode, you give them the key, because their actions at some point in time demonstrated some consistent behavior. And a trustworthy statement is one in which holds value over time. It was true long ago, and it's true today. And so you come across certain sayings that we're going to come across today. What is the trustworthy statement? Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. And it's a powerful statement. But I have a few I'd like to read to you that are kind of worldly, but some have wisdom, hopefully it'll connect with you. This being from George Carlin, which I think is very apropos for when we go out driving. Have you ever noticed that anybody driving slower than you is an idiot? And anyone going faster than you is a maniac. Or by a person named Jack Handy, which I don't know who this is, but before you criticize someone, walk a mile in their shoes. Doesn't that make sense, right? He says, that way you'll be a mile far from them and you'll have their shoes. I hope you want that. Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, says this, all you need is love. But a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt. Amen to that one. Emma Baumbach, you remember her? Emma, she had some great sayings. She said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. When they're finished, I climb out. And I couldn't leave you without some baseball quotes from a famous one, that's Yogi Berra, who always had a way with words. He said, you always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours. Baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical. He says, and if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace. Someplace else. And so those are the funny, silly quotes from the world and stuff. What is a trustworthy saying? Paul is going to tell us what this true statement is, and we've covered it already, but I'll remind you of it in a moment there. A trustworthy statement, something that was trustworthy, true long ago, and it holds its value today. And the saying is connected, is connected to the life that is lived. See, the old way of doing things, the old way of living life is not acceptable. And Paul says, there is a trustworthy saying which you can hold on to and live by that will give you the value that you desperately need. So in order for us to do this, I want to back up a couple of verses because I want you to understand that Paul is talking about false teachers in the previous section, but it kind of continues on. And the false teachers who wanted to teach that the law, about the law, but they had no idea what they were talking about. And Paul points out here the fact that he mentions before this that the law was written for those who are lawless and not the just, those who are disobedient, ungodly, sinners, unholy, and profane. He goes on to say in verse 10, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, in which I have been entrusted. And I didn't really talk much about this last time, but this word entrusted, assigned responsibility. Paul has been given this great responsibility to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul has been given this task to proclaim Jesus, even though he would suffer for it, even though he would be harmed for it, he still does it, and he was given this wonderful responsibility. So now that leads us into verse 12. So Paul says this, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. It's pretty basic, isn't it? You see, Paul is expressing this gratitude that he has towards God. For God doing what in his life? It says, God strengthened him through Christ Jesus, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to service. You think about that and what Paul says here. Let me ask you this question. Has God judged you faithful? Has God entrusted you? He has. He has. He wants to. And as a result of that, he entrusts you with the gospel message to proclaim Jesus Christ to those who are broken. And as a result of understanding that relationship, Paul goes on to say, praise God, I thank him all the time to have a heart filled of gratitude of what God is doing in my life, what God is doing in your life, how he is allowing us to be used by him. See, Paul doesn't say anything about earning this salvation. As a matter of fact, Paul says, I thank him who has given me the strength. Paul had endured struggles, shortcomings, hardships, heartaches, just like us, but has been given this responsibility. He didn't make excuses. He just continued to live for him. So to be entrusted with this message is a huge deal. Paul had to go through the suffering, his trials. He didn't give up. And the same may be for us, where the road that we're going through is rough, where the waves are big and they're mighty and they're scary, but he's entrusted you to be faithful, to live out this message for him. God wants us to do that for him. So now we get into this here. And this is what's wonderful. So Paul dealing with false teachers and stuff and thanking God what God has done in his life, he goes on to say this, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I'd acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith, with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. See, Paul says, this is what I used to do. You know the life of Paul, how he persecuted the church, how he attacked those who proclaimed Jesus, ignoring the advice of Gamaliel. He took things into his own hands. And yet God extends his grace and mercy to him. Paul didn't earn it. Paul didn't, because of his huge intellect, didn't deserve it. But God, desiring to use him as a witness, got a hold of him. I love what he says here. I was a blasphemer, speaking irreverently about God and about sacred things, verbally or in written form, attacking the very character and the work of God. That's what Paul did. Although he thought he was doing the very work of God, he was attacking the work of God, being a blasphemer. And me, being a former atheist, I can identify with being a blasphemer, of mocking God, belittling God, attacking his character, his nature, and his work and his attributes. And this idea of being insolent, just showing this rude, this arrogant lack of respect behavior before God, because Paul was in control. Paul knew better than God. Paul would take care of things. But he admits something. He says he acted out of ignorance. And he doesn't do this to justify his relationship. He just wants you to understand, he acted out of it. It didn't warrant God's mercy. But Paul was, what he's doing is contrasting himself with the false teachers. See, the false teachers think that they know something about God and the truth, but they are lying and they are distorting. And he's telling Timothy, stay in Ephesus and correct this teaching. Paul says, when I did this stuff, I was wayward. I acted in a shameful way. And whenever I became a disciple of Jesus, I'm no longer acting in ignorance. And so as a result, he is living faithfully for God, but they are living dangerously close to being cut off from God, because the false teachers think they are smarter than anybody, trying to justify their behavior. That being said, please pay attention to what he says here. That part says, but I received what? Mercy. I received mercy. And it says, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when I said to you this morning, when it first opened up, isn't it wonderful to be here? That each and every day God allows you to wake up, that you can have this overflowing experience of his grace, of his mercy that's been poured out on you. And what did you do to earn it? What did you do to receive it? Was it because, you know, you had this incredible intellect or your ability to reason and stuff? It's not that at all. It's because of what he has done for us. And what we see is Paul recognizing this, that this overflowing mercy and grace that's been given to him, even though he acted out of ignorance, has had an effect on Paul's life. And when you understand this, when it hits home of what God has done in your life, and you don't deserve anything, it's profound. It's life-altering. It's because you want to be used by him. You want to make him known. You want him to use you however he needs to use you. And so we see this, where Paul says, this is what I used to be, and this is me now. Why? Because of the grace and mercy that was extended to me. There was no special program given to Paul. There wasn't this steps that he had to go through. It's because of what God did to get his attention. Does God have your attention? Does God have your attention? Or are you thinking about something else? Something else going on at home in your life personally? God's love and mercy is overflowing, desiring that in your life to fill you. Are you receiving that? Are you allowing that? And if you are, then you're willing to let him use you however he needs to use you. And that leads me into the next slide. And this is where actually I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to cover all the slides today and all the verses, because when as I was studying for this and going over this, this is where God was stopping me. So I'm going to stop here. The saying is trustworthy. and deserving of full acceptance. So what is the trustworthy saying? We get to it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. What is the trustworthy saying, Paul? He says this. Here's a trustworthy saying. It was true back in Paul's day in the first century for the disciples, and it's true for the 21st century today. And it'll be true until God, you know, reconciles the whole world and all that stuff, and this earth is done away with. It'll be true from years from now, if God permits. And that is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Have you ever had that thought where you think, like, why would God ever love me? Why would God ever extend his grace and mercy to me? If people really knew, if my friends knew the deep desires of my heart or the actions and stuff, would they still love me? Would they still be concerned about me? Would they still be even want to be around me? Yet here is God, you know, Paul revealing to us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Think about that. He knows you so well. He knows the very thoughts of your mind. He knows the words before they come out of your mouth. He knows when you lie down and when you get up. I said this morning in my prayer for a Bible class, talking about that very thing and thinking, isn't it amazing that many of us, just like Adam and Eve, will try to hide, will try to scurry, will try to kind of get around and play around with the reality of who God is, and maybe I can trick him. God knows us so well that he didn't say, you know what, I hate this creation, I'm sick of it, I'm going to wipe it out. Oh, one time he did, the flood. And then he kept his plan going to restore and make things all new again. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So this is the trustworthy statement. Therefore, if it is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance, right? Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. And understanding that this means that he saves you, not to make you a bad man, to be a good person, but he rescued us from hell. So when he says about saving us, you think about this, to save sinners, you think about saving. Save you from what? Eternal damnation. We make connections so easily, don't we? We make connections about saving. Where you say we rescued, somebody got rescued maybe from a burning house. Maybe somebody got rescued or saved from a sickness. Maybe pulled out of a car accident. We see those things. We see the dire need there. When there's a building on fire and someone's in the top window, where's the ladder? Where are the firemen? Where are they that they can come and get a ladder up there or something to save that person? And here we find out that though we may not be in a car accident physically at this point in time or a fire, Jesus Christ came in this world to save sinners. Without Jesus in your life, you are lost. More importantly, you're not just lost. You are heading in the direction of hell. You are in the grips of the enemy. And the enemy has a hold of you. And my concern, my plea, my desire is what Paul says there, to recognize that. That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. You could say, well, I'm not like this person. I'm not like that person. Paul says, I was the foremost of sinners. You know what's amazing about athletics? And that is, you may think that you may be a pretty good player at something, but there's always someone you may be better than. But typically, there's a line of people ahead of you that are better than you. That's humbling. That's like, that's... And here's Paul saying, I was chief of the sinners. And reality is, I could say, well, I'm not like Paul. I didn't go out persecuting the church. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But I mocked God's name. I cursed his name. I lived in disobedience from God. And I can say myself that I, as he says, was the foremost of sinners. See, brothers and sisters, it's not about having a pity party for yourself. It's about seeing the reality that you are separated from God because of your sins. And there's only one way to have that made new. There's only one way to have it restored, to have that relationship reborn, to be born again. And that is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To confess him as your Lord and Savior. To be baptized into Christ and to walk as a new creation. I love the scriptures that Chad read this morning about that very fact. That he came to do that. And one more thing that I want to leave with you all before I wrap this up and offer up the invitation. There's more to this section and stuff. But understanding this, that Paul talks about his life. He talks about the grace and mercy that's been poured to him. And then he says, let me tell you something. Here's a trustworthy statement. You want to go out in the world and tell someone, say, I have some advice for you. What advice do you have? Here's a trustworthy statement that Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners. It's all. That's all. Now, I want to just leave you with this, church, because this is something that I did not plan in Bible class. It just kind of came to me. And I praise God for that. And that is, I was reading through, we're talking about worry. Talking about this issue of worry. So in Mark chapter 6, forget what verse it is, verse 25. Forget. But anyways, Jesus takes his disciples come back and they gave a report about what had happened. Remember, he sent them out, his apostles out. They come back, they give the report. Why did they give a report? Well, part of giving a report is to hear someone talk. It's encouraging, isn't it? Isn't it encouraging to hear when someone, what God is doing in someone's life? And all of them, all 12 of them are speaking up and saying what God is doing in their lives. What God, how God used them to cast out demons, to heal the lame, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful stuff, amazing stuff. And then Jesus says, you know, he wants to take them to a desolate place so they can eat and kind of relax a little bit. We've all been there. But I have a challenge for you, church, before we leave here today. God's love has been poured out upon you, amen? God's love is over, his grace, his mercy. And if there's any group of people that no matter what the circumstances should be able to, not by my power or your power, have a different appearance and speak differently and behave differently, is that disciples of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with his joy and his love, all this, that when we go out in this world, we should sound different and be different. Here's my challenge for you. Now, you're not going to have to give a report, but think about this. Think about this. You're going to leave here today. What are you going to do? Do you go shopping? Maybe it's your Sunday, you do laundry. Maybe just go home and, I don't know, sit around, sit outside, enjoy this wonderful heat wave we have going on. I don't know. Maybe go to the pool. But I want you to leave here with intentionality. So when you leave here, that you're praying about, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Lord, put someone in my life. Show me who it is, Lord. And then when he does, act upon it. We do that, church. I guarantee you, just like the 12 apostles came back and gave a report, that every single one of us would say, I want to tell you what God did in my life this week. Not because I want to tell you and think I'm an important person, but God using me. God using every one of us. I appreciate Chad's comments around the table about referring back to me saying things about, I want this Collier's Way Church to be a light into the community. I do so desperately. I'm sure many of you do. Well, one way that happens, when we leave here with intentionality, walking by the power of the Spirit, saying, Lord, As I go in the Walmart, as I go in the Kroger, as I go in the Home Depot, as I go to the park with wherever it is that God is leading you, allowing you to go, Lord, show me, provide for me, and let me speak a trustworthy statement that Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners. It doesn't say Christ Jesus came in this world to make bad men good. He came to save sinners. And if you are not in Christ, you are a sinner. If you're not in Christ, you are separated from God. And now you're dealing with your eternal soul. Just like that house being on fire, you want to get out of that house and be safe. The Lord has done all that he can to rescue you, to redeem you, to provide for you. But you have to make the decision. So church, if you're here today and you need prayers, we want to pray for you. If you're here today and you want to come into this relationship with Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord and Savior, love for you to do that today. But please live each and every day with intentionality for the glory of God. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing this wonderful song?